Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike, let's get into this. And for those of you, again, who are not following, this is simply about the men's national team. We've got World Cup coming up in 2026, 2 years away. And yes, Atlanta's going to be a big part of it. So everybody's eyes were on the men's national team in Copa America. And we were, you know, Mike, hoping to get to the knockout round. That did not happen. And before we talk about the loss, just everybody's perception was the team was going to be better.
Yeah, and, you know, if you guys don't follow U.S. soccer, in a nutshell, 2023, we've really owned Mexico. That's our big arch rival in CONCACAF in North America, and we've really kind of taken a step over them. And then this year, we backslid. I mean, ugly game against Jamaica. You know, I mean, just monkeying around against Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, just some really inexcusable type of competition. you know, and look, Greg Berhalter has been the coach for a number of years. His brother is a big part of the organization that runs U.S. soccer. There's a really good article. I mean, it's too much to kind of get into all of it. But Jeff Carlisle, I got to basically say I agree with like everything he wrote today at ESPN.com, who says, in a nutshell, why U.S. soccer needs to move on from Berhalter after Copa failure. Because this is a failure. There's no way to spin this.
Yeah.
And for those who don't follow soccer, I'll give you the primer. Basically, you have these groups, and usually there's two good teams and two teams that aren't so good. And in this case, Uruguay is like one of the top teams in the world, certainly one of the top teams in South America.
Bolivia sucks.
Bolivia is not good, and Panama is not as good as us.
Yes.
Panama plays dirty. We played right into their game here at Mercedes-Benz, lost our cool. Refs, and by the way, the officiating, yes, it's been abysmal, but you can't use that as an excuse. You can't. You've got to find a way to overcome it when you are one of the most populous more populated countries in the world that has a deeper well to pick from. And we've got guys that are playing in the top leagues all over the world now, which is something you couldn't say necessarily, Carl, 2 decades ago.
No, you could not. And by the way, this is supposed to have been building. We've been talking, right. And I've been saying this, I've been talking about this for 20 years, guys. Building. Every time this comes around, we're building. It's getting better. Oh, you know, when Klinsmann was in charge, Mike, I think right. He did a better job.
And then he alienated the people
correct.
That apparently didn't have enough say, and so they get their boy in.
And they move on.
And here we are.
All right, so here's Berhalter talking about the team is not doomed.
In my opinion, it's not something you say, okay, you know, this program's doomed. It's not that. It's not the case at all. It was a poor performance. We didn't get the results that we expected, and we need to get better.
We've never gotten out of the group of the round of 16. We made it into the knockout round where we don't do anything. You know, we generally come up against competition that, you know, in 22, you know, down in Qatar, we had some matches where you felt pretty good about yourself. You know, again, our team just doesn't play clutch. The best way to describe it for guys who aren't soccer fans, we don't have a clutch gene. And I'll be honest with you, Carl, we don't have a killer instinct. I think that's what you saw in these matches. When the going got tough,
Yeah. We
just didn't have mental toughness on the back end. We couldn't finish. Like this, you know, when you watch European soccer, the ball goes from foot to foot and then and boom. With us, it's always an extra touch, an extra pass, or a bobble, and then we miss an opportunity.
I agree. Let's hear him talk about, and again, this is the head coach of the U.S. men's national team, Greg Berhalter. He's talking about, is he the right voice for this team?
As you just said, you felt like this team didn't perform well and could perform better. The decision's not up to you as to whether you continue, but do you believe that you still are the right voice, the right person with this group to push it forward ahead of the 26th World Cup and into the 26th World Cup?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think they got to make a change. This guy's. This is a dude. We were joking around about it when you were off on Thursday down at Hudson Grill doing the show before USA took on Panama. And I would get up. There was a lot of loud background noise, but I would get up every once in a while and go, "What do we think of Berhalter?" And then half the patio would either go, eh, or thumbs down.
Sure.
So he's not inspiring a lot of confidence from the fan base. And as we said, you know, what does it take? Now, there are some bigger issues at play here. Why don't we get our point guards, our cornerbacks? I'm just talking about size-wise. It would fit the soccer profile. And then they would be the guys that would have the skill set. Our best athletes don't play the sport.
But that's never been the case, though.
Right. So how do we get them to?
I mean,
here's the thing. You and I always talk about engagement as a fan. Why, as a fan, should I give a flip about U.S. men's soccer when our best athletes don't play?
Okay, so I'll tell you why. Have you looked at these contracts? Did you just see what Jason Tatum got? Kids see that, Mike.
Right.
Where is that? Not in Europe. Where is that here? Where is the soccer player that's making $150, $200, $300 million, Mike? Where's that guy?
Right.
Not named Messi.
Christian Pulisic is making roughly about $8 million a year.
Okay. So,
playing in Italy.
So he's an NHL player. Let's be honest.
Yeah. A low-end NHL player.
So my point is, We aspire, not just us, but kids aspire. They watch this stuff, guys. Your kids are seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, they're seeing, you know what? These quarterbacks, these corners, these right. NBA guys, all these guys are making. That's what I want to do. You see in baseball where guys are getting $400 million, you go, Mike Trout, that's what I want to do.
Because
Is that happening in soccer?
Because it doesn't work, as you just laid out. You see Jason Tatum just became the highest paid NBA player. You see Jason Tatum every week. You see him on TV. You're aware of him. He's on ESPN. The best player for you, we'll take Pulisic as our best player. He plays in Italy, in Milan.
You don't watch it all the time.
Yeah. No, I get it.
And he's great.
The hardcore soccer fans, guys, we're not talking about you. We're talking about the casual fan that grows the sport, the casual fan whose dad gets him into it. We've done an amazing job. Atlanta United going all the way back to Bocanegra and Darren Eels and Arthur Blank. Soccer in the streets. If we could get some, you know, inner city kids to stick with it. But as a lot of parents were telling us on the text line last week, it's so damn expensive for all travel sports.
No, it is.
Baseball, girls softball, you name it. So how do you get our best athletes to be able to find their way into a pipeline? Messi and some people in South America, it's the ticket out of poverty. You get the toughest kids from the street, that's the way they advance. You get the toughest kids from the ghettos outside Paris or Brussels, and they advance to their national team. Their parents generally emigrated from somewhere in the Middle East or Africa, and they're just tougher than our guys. That's it. And I know American soccer, some of our audience don't like to hear that.
But they aspire
bingo,
to that.
Bingo.
Our kids don't. And I've said this for years, Mike, and people have made fun of me. Most of you made your kids play soccer because, hell, it got them tired. Not because you were interested in them becoming a professional player.
Right.
All right? I lived it. I've seen all the boys and girls out there running around and, oh, we're going to play. And it's great. They get to high school, they're like, oh, I really don't necessarily love it. I mean, they don't aspire to be that. I'm not telling you it's not big, but everybody's been telling me for 25 years how kids are playing in the burbs. And we still get this crap.
Right. Now, we have guys where, in some cases, you are earmarked for, you know, a team like a junior academy, and then if you're lucky, maybe somebody gets you over to Europe to start playing. But the majority of our team, they're college kids. And I'm not saying that equates to soft. Okay, I'll say it. They're soft college kids. And that's just where the inequity lies as far as what the best of the best is in Europe. And that's why, you know, we look at MLS. We love what happened in 17 and 18. But I think we've come to the realization that we are a lower class league. We are always going to be a feeder series. And that's just our lot in life in America. We can still be entertained by it.
Yes.
And you can still have a great product and a great vibe like we do at Mercedes-Benz. But it's just on display. When we get beat and you can't advance past Panama, I mean, come on. That's embarrassing. That's on U.S. soccer. But I think it's from the root to the fruit. I think the entire system is flawed.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd love to hear Brad Guzan's comments on this because he played on this national
team. And
we've
asked him about this before.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear, you know, at this point in his career where he's at and what he thinks about where we're going. I just feel like where we should be at this point, we're not there. And the reasons why, you have to ask why not. Why are we not there? And Mike mentioned this. Whether we are not good enough to grind out games, we're also making dumb mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, if these same mistakes are made in the NFL, you blame the coach.
Correct.
Okay? If these mistakes are made in Major League Baseball where you're pulling pitchers and you're doing dumb things, you blame the manager. This is no different. That's why Berhalter is on the hot seat right now when people are saying, wait a minute, we don't grind out games, which gets to Mike's tough enough, and we make too many mistakes, which gets us to the red card that happened last week, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, look, here's the thing. You know what, for guys who don't know, Panama plays chippy. They're going to try to get you out of your cool, you know, whatever your vibe is, they're going to try to disrupt it. And they do dirty stuff. And yes, the ref had two red cards in that game. Eventually, we did get even a 10-10, but we got to be able to find a way to score. We just can't finish. And to punch a guy in the back of the head, how do
Dumb.
You? I mean, that's a total lack of poise for Tim Way, who pulled that move.
Let's hear Alexi Lawless. He's been on our show numerous times talking about not only Atlanta United, but the men's national team. This is what he said after the L.
You talked about learning from losing, okay? I think what we have learned over these cycles is that this team is not able to do anything better than is done in the past. And that hurts. That hurts to say. Because that was not what was promised and not what, for many, we believed was going to happen with this team. Because if this is as good as it gets, it's not good enough.
Kelly Francis is a friend of ours, big soccer fan, and she says, guys, we just lost to a country that's got 3.5 million people.
It's a joke.
And she's saying, forget the ref, forget the circumstances. She goes, there's no excuse from this country. We have the resources and the population to be dominant. Again, we don't need all of our best players. We just need a few of our best athletes to play this sport. And there's still plenty of room for the NBA and NFL. But as Carl pointed out, there's no way a kid's going to look at what's going on in the world of sports and say, I'm going to go make some money in soccer. until we make it available to them. And we have a pipeline which offers, I mean, is there any way where we could have like these systems where, yes, there's a connection where more kids can go over to Europe immediately through U.S. Soccer or from Atlanta? I don't know. Again, I'm at a loss because I don't know how the youth system works. All I know is it's not working and getting our best guys on the pitch.
Where are you guys at? 404-726-0929. Text us. You can hit us up as well on social media and let us know how you feel. Obviously, you feel, I hope you hear that we're passionate about this because when we talk about the World Cup, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want this to be in North America for the first time in forever. Mike, for us to have matches here in Atlanta.
And it's simply an automatic bid because we're the host country as opposed to being there on merit and kicking people's butts.